Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast for Sunday, March 31st, 2024. Today's sermon is the resurrection and ascension of Christ as prophet, priest, and king. If you'd like to follow along, please go to gracebaptistchurchnc.org, click the current sermons link at the top, and click today's manuscript. Welcome to Grace Baptist Church.
I'm going to preach today part two, so we'll be carrying on from last week as we looked at the cross. Today, of course, what preacher does not enjoy, and which of us do not like have ears to hear that our Lord is risen from the dead? And so with that in mind, let's pray, and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we come before you again this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths that are there. And we thank you that you have not left us as orphans. You've given us your Holy Spirit, and you are with us. You are seated in the heavenly places. You are at the right hand of God till all your enemies are made your footstool because of the resurrection and the ascension. But Father, we pray in Jesus' name because he sits right there. So we give thanks today. We pray that Jesus would be exalted, as he is already. But I pray that your Spirit would work, that he would increase, that we would decrease. I pray that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see. If someone is not a Christian here, pray today they would hear the gospel and turn and be saved. Father, in spite of me, I pray that you would work. I pray these words would be good for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of the sermon is The Resurrection and Ascension of Christ. So today, keep in mind, the resurrection, on that day when he rose from the dead, then those 40 days, and then he ascended, they go together though. We cannot separate the resurrection from the ascension. So the title of the sermon is The Resurrection and Ascension, as they show that Jesus, or affirm or display that Jesus is our truth number one, our prophet. Truth number two, our priest. Truth number three, our king. And so last week, just to bring us back, we looked at the cross, particularly how the cross displays Christ as prophet, priest, and king. And we look back at our first prophet. Do you remember who it was? Adam. But Adam did not fulfill his role as prophet. He failed to speak the words of God there to Eve, particularly in the Garden of Eden, and to the world, and the serpent came in, and he did not fulfill his role as prophet. As our first priest as well, Adam, he did not guard the garden temple, the place of God's worship. He did not protect the holiness of God. As our first king, Adam, he failed to rule over this world and the garden as well. He should have crushed the head of the serpent and ruled over the garden and Eve, his wife, and the world, and protected them. And in all these ways, as prophet, priest, and king, Adam failed miserably. But Jesus, second Adam, our true prophet, priest, and king, did not fail. And so, thinking about the cross, as our prophet, the Lord Jesus, he really shows us the Father. Every word that he said was the word of God because he was God in the flesh. And his cross was his pulpit. As our priest, he did not fail. He is our true representative, the mediator between God and man. He is both our priest and our sacrifice as he laid down his life. As our king on the cross, he conquered sin. And then it goes with the resurrection, as we will see, but he conquered death because he died on the cross as a sacrifice. And he conquered and he disarmed, the Bible says, the power of Satan on the cross. As king, he conquered on the cross. Today he takes away our sins. He takes away the wrath of God. And that was our sermon last week. That was the cross. Today it's Easter. So let's turn our attention to the resurrection. And I'm going to try to show that Jesus' resurrection and ascension, that to show that He is still always and forever. Even when we sang the song, "I need Thee every hour." We could not sing that, could not experience that if He were not sitting at the right hand of the Father now. He is our prophet, priest, and king. So truth number one, the risen Christ as our prophet. Well, the resurrection and ascension of Jesus assures that His work as prophet continues now and forevermore. That's what the resurrection does. Pretty simple. A dead Christ is a false prophet. How can He continue as a prophet if He is dead? The Westminster Larger Catechism says this: "It is obvious that a permanently dead Jesus falls woefully short in His prophetic office, for He cannot reveal to the church in all ages by His Spirit and His Word, in diverse ways, administration, the whole will of God, in all things concerning their edification and salvation." So without the resurrection and ascension, there is no continued prophetic work. In fact, without the resurrection, there is no power, there is no authority, there is no life-giving Spirit to carry out His work. So if you would, turn with me to John chapter 14. Jesus spoke these words. We're going to be looking at verse 12, 16, 17, 28 here in John 14. These words were spoken by Jesus right before He went to the cross. And He tells the disciples, "I'm going away." And they say, "What?" They start thinking, what do you mean here, Lord? You're going away. And so they start to wonder. And so Jesus knows they're wondering, and He starts to explain what this means and what it will mean for them and for us concerning His prophetic ministry particularly. Verse 12, John 14, 12. He says, "Because I'm going away, you will do greater works." So why is this? Why would they and why would we do greater works? Look at verse 16. "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever." So who is this helper? We know the answer to this. It is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, verse 17. Then He says in verse 28, "I will not leave you as orphans." Who's an orphan? An orphan has no parents, have no family. There are orphanages all over the world where kids are living as orphans, and they can't say, "I have a father," or "I can't say I have a mother," or someone that will care for me and help me. I think we get this picture. So if parents die or leave their children, they are orphans without a family. This is a picture for us. Though Jesus dies, He never leaves us. Why is this? Well, look at verses 25 and 26. He says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all that I have said to you." Brothers and sisters, all the prophets, all the teachers, all the preachers of all the religions of this world are all dead. All of them leave their followers as orphans. We, as Christians, are not orphans. As our true prophet, Jesus rose from the dead. He ascended to the right hand, the majesty on high, where He will never leave. That is where He is from the resurrection, the ascension, forever. And I would add, forever in the flesh, given His resurrected body, forever. He is always our prophet. The giving of the Holy Spirit is a consequence of the resurrection and the ascension, not a consequence of the cross directly. Now, again, they're connected. The cross, resurrection are connected for sure. Excuse me. For if Jesus is not true prophet, priest, excuse me, guys. If he is not true prophet, priest, and king at the cross, thank you. Kind of okay now, but thank you. But if he is not prophet, priest, and king at the cross, then he is not prophet, priest, and king then later on at the resurrection. But what happens at the resurrection and the ascension and later after that? The Holy Spirit comes down only because Jesus has gone up. Only. Otherwise, we are just like all the rest of followers of good teachers of other religions. We are left as orphans. Jesus executes his office of prophet by doing what? By keeping it going, by doing what? Sending us the Holy Spirit. So for us today, this means the activity of Christ and the activity of the Spirit are the same. And I could go into a number of sermons on that. But the reason he does not leave us is because he comes to us in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is his ongoing prophetic rule today, which does not happen without the resurrection. If we just have the cross, we do not have the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. So a couple few applications. First application for us this morning. We don't need a physical Jesus per se right here, right now in our ministry for people to come to faith. John says this, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, so that when we go out and you go out here tomorrow and you preach the gospel, the Spirit is here in the world. He's in our hearts as believers. We are united with Christ, but the Spirit is working in the world so that when we preach and teach with power. And so we must preach and teach the gospel. Another application. In the church now, since Jesus sits at the right hand of God, he now works in the church by the Word and by the Spirit. Hopefully you remember that sermon just a few weeks ago. This will not change until his coming. This will be exactly the same. There is no possibility of failure. People will become Christians, and these same people will be taught through the Word and by the Spirit. Another application. The Spirit applies the Word, the words of Christ, to us now as Christians. I think of the Thessalonians. I said this last week. 1 Thessalonians 1, 4 and 5. Paul says this, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction." And so this knowing, Christians, brothers and sisters, that the Holy Spirit lives within us and is fulfilling this prophetic ministry of Christ now should make a huge difference. Even when we sing our songs together, what kind of songs are they? They're full of the Word, full of the gospel. There's great power even in the singing of the Word when we come together, particularly in the sermons, in the preaching of the Word. I'm not just standing up here as someone who does not have authority or power given because Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. And he has said all authority has been given. John Calvin says this about the pulpit. When someone goes up into the pulpit, it is so that God should speak to us by the mouth of men and should favor us with His presence. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's mystical, but it is true because we know what happens after it through the preaching of the Word. Martin Luther says this, "'Tis a right, excellent thing that every honest pastor's and preacher's mouth is Christ's mouth." Now, I must say, I say a lot of things and I put my foot in my mouth, especially illustrations sometimes, and some of the things I have said, and I do that often, and I always say thank you for overlooking me. It does get sometimes a bit more difficult week after week. Sooner or later, if you're like me, you're going to put your foot in your mouth. But when I preach the Word of God and I read, even as I read that prayer this morning, the words of God, it is in that way that it is that preaching is powerful. Another application that just goes along with this. Parents, when you do your family worship together and your devotions, you should know, yeah, it is like weeping and gnashing of teeth when you have small kids, for sure. But you should know that as you read the Word to your kids, that it is powerful through the power of the Holy Spirit. It should affect our boldness as we share with our neighbors. I often fall short in this regard. And I go, oh, what will they think? And my friends, some of my non-Christian friends I hang out with in leisure activities, and I lack boldness. Even this week at the I've been praying, Lord, just help me just to share what I can. And even this week the Lord's mercy was great with me just for a few words. I was at the grocery store with three ladies, and they were saying, it was down at Earth Fair, down at Concord Mills, and they were saying, oh, it's Easter. Oh, that's a holiday, right? Yeah, that's every day's a holiday. Every day's a holiday. And da 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 da, and they just kept on and on. And I started to walk off, but I thought, I can't leave this be. And I said, it's a pretty good one, because a man rose from the dead, and they all just stood there. And they knew that. They knew that. But it's just little times like that I pray that God would give us, because when we go out, we know that the Word will go out in power. This also affects our prayer life. When we pray the Word through the power of the Holy Spirit, we know that God will, in Jesus' name, fulfill all of His promises and answer our requests. This is very brief, but I'm going to move on to point number two. But all of these things and so much more, Jesus is our prophet now, and all of these things continue. Everything He did on the cross is now applied to us because He was raised from the dead. And now He sits at the right hand of the Father. Well, let's move on to truth number two. And let's think about the risen Christ as our priest. He is our prophet, but He's also our priest. Now, when we think about priesthood, our attention is automatically drawn to the fact that Jesus is our mediator. 1 Timothy 2, 5 says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." He is our representative. Think back to Adam. And we might say Adam was the representative of all mankind. But as the first priest of the Garden Temple, he was given the responsibility to guard the worship of God there, the place God revealed Himself and spoke to Adam and Eve. He was to protect the place of God's presence from all evil and to lead His family. He was God's representative. We might say God's mediator, even before sin came. And then, of course, we know He failed in that regard. But later, God set up this priestly system. Okay, we see it with the patriarchs, but then when we get to Moses, first high priest is Aaron. He is also given this role as representative. And last week we talked about how he wore this beautiful breastplate and these beautiful clothing that had 12 different types of, you know, gems and things on them. 12 to represent what? The tribes of Israel. So that when he went into the Holy of Holies, it was just a picture that he was carrying their sins into the Holy of Holies. It was a picture. Well, in the same way, Jesus is our priest. He is our mediator. He is our representative. This is why the Apostle Peter says, "He himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds we have been healed. This is talk of the cross from last week. It's what we automatically go to when we go to priesthood. This is Good Friday last week. As we look to the cross, Jesus is our priest. He laid down His life as a sinless sacrifice. And those who trust in Him find that their sins are forgiven. If you are in Christ today, your sins are forgiven. The wrath of God has been taken away. Jesus accomplished what Adam and all the priests of the Old Testament failed to do. Because of the cross, we have all the benefits associated with salvation. But here's a question that I have. Listen to this question. What happens to the priesthood of Christ if there is no resurrection? Have you ever thought about that? Thinking from Good Friday to resurrection morning? If Christ is not alive now, then who is our representative now? Who is our mediator now? Who enters into the Holy of Holies now? Who applies the benefits of heaven to the subjects of the kingdom now? Have you ever thought about that? Brothers and sisters, we know the answer to that. It is Christ now, because He rose from the dead. And where does He sit? Hebrews 1:3, after making purification for sins. That's the cross. That's the priest on the cross. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now we have the priest in heaven. This means Jesus is our priest now. We go back to a dead prophet is a false prophet. A dead priest, false priest. False priest does not accomplish. That's go back to the system of the animals. Go back to the system of the high priest. They all died. That's why Hebrews says the blood of bulls and goats could never atone for sins. Connected with the priesthood there and they doing their work. But He is our mediator now. He is our representative now. He is our priest now, sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high. And this work as a priest, because of the resurrection and the ascension, this resurrection and ascension, His priesthood now, secures for us all of the blessings of God forever, forever. This is one of the truths of the book of Hebrews. We just preached through it. You should remember this. But though the resurrection is only referenced one time in the book of Hebrews directly, and we'll read that at the end of the day today, there are scores of verses in the book of Hebrews that demonstrate Jesus is a priest forever because of the resurrection and ascension. In other words, at His resurrection and His ascension, Christ is appointed to this position. Now, I want to say this. I don't think this happened on the cross. Cross is associated with death. He was appointed a priest. How could the writer of Hebrews say that He was appointed a priest forever if He were to die or if He were not to be alive? Look with me at Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to read a few verses together. And this is to show us that Jesus is our priest now, because He rose from the dead, He ascended to the Father. He is our priest forever. And we might say here, we'll see here in a moment, an indestructible life. Hebrews 5, starting verse 5 and continuing. So also, Christ did not exalt Himself. Who did this? The Bible says God does this. Christ did not exalt Himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by Him who said. So God is appointing Jesus. You are My Son. Today I have begotten You. Verse 6, as He also says in another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. This is all talking about the cross. But then verse 9 again. Well, and being made perfect. That didn't happen at the cross. Well, I mean, it's mystery because he was already perfect in this, being a sinless. But there's something about this. Being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. This is about his priesthood. Being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. If we had time, we'd go back to Psalm 2, Psalm 110. But that's what we've seen through preaching of Hebrews. Also, look over at chapter 7 of Hebrews, verse 16. It says this: he has become a priest, not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent. Again, I believe this is speaking about the resurrection and the ascension and the seating on the right hand of the majesty on high. But he says, he has become a priest, not on the basis of legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. Well, in his manhood, what did he do? He died. But he rose again. So I think these in a just without going into much detail, something happened at the resurrection. So, what does this mean for us? Well, it means because Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to the Father, all the benefits of the cross are yours today. Because he ascended, your sins are forgiven. This is forever. Let me say it negatively, though. If there is no resurrection, ascension, there are no continued benefits because we have a dead priest. His priesthood is not complete. If he were to remain dead, his priesthood is not forever. His life is not indestructible. So as our priest, he must carry us to heaven and keep us there forever. This is why Paul can say in Ephesians 2, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." The cross does not do that. The resurrection, along with the cross, of course, but the resurrection does this. So that in the coming ages he might show to us the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So this means for us, as I try to apply this truth, that because of the resurrection and the ascension, the immeasurable riches of God's grace are yours forever. Right now, tomorrow, the next day, and forever. Because Jesus will always be alive as our priest, as our mediator, as our representative. He will always be our representative before the Father. Look over it. Well, let me just read. Hebrews 7:25 says this: "Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." This means that we will always find favor with God. Always. Today, because Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, as your priest, your sins are forgiven. Favor of God is upon you, never to end. So, if you look at your life and you say, "My sins are too great. God cannot save me." No. You have a priest. You have an advocate who sits at the right hand of the Father. Do you feel insecure? Are you ever insecure about anything? Even I'm speaking to Christians now. Why would you be insecure? Your eternal position is secure forever. Has your family abandoned you in any way, or those you love left you alone? Your earthly family, maybe they have. But because Christ is your priest in heaven, you are a child of God, and He has not left you as an orphan. Do you fear death this morning? Well, why would we fear death as Christians? He is risen. He's conquered death. As Paul says, O death, where is your sting? Christ has been given a resurrected body forever. One theologian says this, the dust of the earth is on the throne of the majesty on high. Do you feel maybe I just can't go on because of what's going on in my life, whether it's through sickness or mess or financial issues or relationship issues, whatever they might be? Know today that your high priest, the Lord Jesus, is praying for you as your high priest and making intercession for you. Isaiah 42:3, a bruised reed He will not break, and a faintly burning wick He will not quench. So no matter how far down you may go, we may go, our high priest is sitting the right hand of the majesty on high, praying for you, making intercession for you, so that all of God's blessings come to you today, tomorrow, next day, by faith, as we look unto Him forever and ever and ever. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we might find mercy and grace to help in time of need. That's why I requested that we sing the song today, I Need Thee Every Hour. We could not find everything we need that Christ applied on the cross and comes down to us without the resurrection and the ascension, because we need Him every hour. So that's truth number two. Let's move on, finally, a little more brief, but the last part of the sermon, the risen Christ as King. And this will be very brief. But as we look back to Adam, he was the first king. What do we find? Well, he should have crushed the head of the serpent in the garden. He should have protected Eve from the devil, but he did not. And of course, we know that Christ crushed the head of the devil on the cross, and then his subsequent resurrection. But as we move through the Bible, from Adam to all the other kings of Israel, particularly the kings of the earth, some of the kings of Israel live by faith and they're good kings. But what do all of the kings of the earth, from Adam all the way, you name them today, what do they all have in common? They have the same thing in common that we have. They are sinners. And they fail ultimately as kings. Well, if we go back to the Old Testament, you'll see over and over, and I'm not going to read any verses today, but over and over, you'll see that there are promises that God will send one that will come from the family of David, and He will set that person on His throne forever. And we see that clearly throughout the Old Testament. It's a huge theme. So in short, when we go back to the Old Testament, all of God's promises from Genesis to Malachi, they converge in one person, one king, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. His rule will be universal. His rule will be everlasting. His rule, under His rule, all of His enemies will be subdued and ultimately destroyed. Under His rule, all of God's people will be delivered under His rule. Righteousness and peace and salvation will not just come to Israel. It goes where? To the ends of the earth, to all of the nations. So let me ask, at what point does Jesus enter into His Davidic kingdom? And I'm doing the same thing I did with prophet, same thing I did with priest, because we're looking to the resurrection. How is He king in the resurrection? At what point does Jesus enter into His Davidic kingship? Well, we know that He's always been the Son of God. He's always been the King. But when does He sit down on His throne and begin His rule? Well, from this perspective, this happened at the resurrection and the ascension. I think of Queen Elizabeth II. She became the Queen of England upon the death, or the Great Britain there, upon the death of her father in February of 1952, Queen Elizabeth did. But she was not crowned until the following year. So, was she queen before? Yes. But she was not crowned until the following year. So, in the same kind of way, Christ was king at His incarnation, but He was not crowned until the resurrection and the ascension. And so, that's why we could say that Easter morning and then the following ascension and crowning there, but Easter morning is the royal coronation service as Christians today. Romans 1, verse 3 and 4, concerning His Son. Right at the beginning of the book of Romans, Paul says, concerning His Son, who was descended from David, according to the flesh, because He was a man. He did come from the tribe of Judah, from the house of David. He was declared to be the Son of God in power, according, not to the cross here, but according to the Spirit of holiness by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Peter's first sermon, he says very clearly, speaking to mostly these Israelites, he says, God has set His king on the throne who came from David. This is God's promise all the way along. And here's what he says. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that He would set one of His descendants on His throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ. This is so important when we read the Old Testament. Today, when we come to the new, today, because of His resurrection, Jesus is King. He is alive, and He reigns now until all of His enemies are put under His feet. Whether the people of this world recognize Him or not, doesn't matter. He is still King, and He reigns over all. And though the world is still full of sin, Satan is still alive, we are commanded to take up the full armor of God until the Lord takes us home or until He comes back. This is why Paul can say to us now, because of His resurrection, you are seated with Him in the heavenly places. And in that regard, we are kings with Him, are we not? And we could say that. Matthew 28, 18. Here's our marching order. So this is, I'm going to try to apply this, and then I'm going to give us a benediction, and we're going to go home and celebrate, continue celebrating these things. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me, because He's speaking to them, the resurrected body, after the resurrection. All authority has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. These are our marching orders. This is what we must do as we walk out of this place today. Preach, teach the Word, make disciples of the nations. And with this in mind, question, did you know that in Christ today, all of us are prophets, priests, and Kings. And I don't have to take you to verses to show you that, but there are verses, particularly in Peter. Because our Lord has risen from the dead and has inaugurated His kingdom and His reign, we give thanks that all of our labor is not in vain. We are more than victorious, even now with our King, who is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is over the world and He is over the church. So today, Jesus is our prophet. Holy Spirit's come down to us, keeps going. He is our priest. He's always making intercession for you, praying for you at the right hand of the Father. And He is our King, and He is reigning and ruling. So with that in mind, I want to read Hebrews 13, 20 to 21 as our benediction this morning. And then, Tommy, you can come and close us. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks for the resurrection, that our Lord is our prophet, our priest, and our King, and He is alive, and He's given us the Holy Spirit as we live and work and be in this world. Pray that You would use these words today and help us as we go out this week. I pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Baptist Church podcast. You can listen to past sermons at podbean.com. Search Grace Baptist Church, China Grove to find us. You can also find us on Apple Podcast. Search Grace Baptist Church, China Grove. You can also join us at the South Rowan YMCA, 950 Kimball Road, China Grove, North Carolina. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for fellowship, and service starts at 10. Thank you for listening, and remember to be intentional in making disciples this week.